Show. Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Lots going on, lots of fun, lots of entertainment, lots of enjoyment. Let's find out what's going on in Washington, D.C. and around the world. Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, what's going on, man?
Well, Rick, there's a ton of things. The comments have, of course, went viral from President Trump concerning the late Senator McCain. They were made in Lima, Ohio, by the way, at a tank factory up there. And so the reception of the comments, some were received, you know, okay, but there were a lot of veterans in the room, so some weren't. Congressman Johnny Isaacson, a Republican senator, used to be in the House, Republican senator from Georgia, had said that every time Trump says something from now on, he's going to hit back at him. So I think probably Isaacson's expressing the opinion of several other members of the Senate. And it seems, Rick, and this is speculation, but something has prompted President Trump concerning this dossier that John McCain, I think, sent people to Europe to get and then turned over, you know, eventually to the department. There's just something has triggered that with the president. Yeah, and then the McCain family answered back, you know.
Yeah, you gotta. I now have more respect for McCain than I did when he was alive, because he's gotten 7 months of free rent inside of Trump's head. I mean, the fact that he still remembers that it's still eating at him, is pretty impressive to me.
Well, you know, I've written a chapter called "The Good Senator," which is highly critical of John McCain in many ways, in my book Sideswiped, and you know, I did not get along with John McCain. He did not get along with me. We didn't care for each other. But, and that doesn't mean that I don't recognize there's some basic things I don't agree with John McCain. But, you know, I can't see making it a point now to attack him, you know, just, you know, right out of the blue. I mean, if I'm asked, I'll be very honest about what I thought about his, you know, record on certain things. But with the president, this is very, very deep-seated, and at first some people said, well, this is his way to get some things off the front page of the news. I don't believe so.
Not
and
this.
He's going to, you know, he's going to start to be hit back at it. Congressman Isaacson is kind of thrown that message out there.
No, this is personal. I mean, you could see it in the spiel. And as I was watching the speech, I'm going, does he realize that he's really digging a hole? I mean, because I was going, you know, I thought, you know, what's he thinking? I mean, is he thinking, man, I'm really killing this, or is it the realization that, man, he's really just killing this badly?
Right. Right, exactly.
I mean, because the crowd clearly wasn't with him when he was going through this whole spiel. I mean, because one, you know, regardless of who or what McCain was, the guy's dead. Get over it. Move on. Move along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
Look, and look, I like you, I was not a huge John McCain fan on the policy front. Mm-hmm. I didn't agree with his politics, but I recognize his service to the country, and I respect that, and I honor that. And as we should for all, and this is my problem is when you start splitting hairs, and this to me started with the Republicans back when John Kerry was running, when you had all these idiots running around with the Purple Heart Band-Aids. To me, this is when all of this really, really began, and it was okay. It now became okay to go after and attack these guys.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, it's just... I was just surprised because it sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was. What's with the whole I never got a thank you thing?
Well,
what the hell was that?
Well, first of all, the House and Senate, and I know because I used to be one of the people in charge of it, the House and the Senate decide who will be laid in state in the rotunda.
Right.
And then the House and Senate people carry those measures, as Chris Dodd and I used to, you know, when we were working together on funerals. And so that's the function of the Speaker and the President, Senate, et cetera. As far as the use of the airplane, I think the President sent an airplane, but honestly, you could, you know, charter a private plane if you wanted a private jet. So, yeah, it's not that he approved for the funeral because he had nothing to do with the Capitol and nothing to do with the Washington National Cathedral.
Right. I'm still missing where he got the – I gave him the funeral he wanted. Really? I've never heard that one before. That's new.
Yeah, that was a new one, yes.
I guess it's good. To me, it's not surprising because, again, here's a guy who has a very high opinion of himself and of what he's actually done, which unfortunately has been too much and not enough. Scary, scary stuff. That's why 2020 to me can't come fast enough. I'm ready to move in another direction, and I see Joe Biden a little bit closer to throwing his name in. Any news around Joe?
Well, he is. I think he's going to do it. And it's weird. It was yesterday. I just kind of thought, I wonder if he will pick an early VP. I don't know why I thought it, but I did. And it looks like they're going to potentially pick an early VP, which would be breaking the precedent, of course. Now, if they do, it's quite dangerous for a lot of reasons. You don't want to start out there asking people to become, you know, a VP and you get declined by somebody. Number two, obviously you can't pick anybody on the ticket because they're going to say, I'm staying on the ticket right now. It's too early.
Yep.
So I don't know. They're, you know, vetting a couple people, but we'll see what happens. But yes, I think he is in the race. And I think his time actually to run would have been last time.
I agree.
But he had the unfortunate passing of his son. You know, so he didn't run. But I think last time was more of his time.
And I think
it's gonna be a fascinating primary, though.
Yeah, I think in that vein is why you're seeing him go after someone like Stacey Abrams. And we had talked. I talked about this a couple of days ago when the meeting, evidently happened. And I said, he's probably vetting her and talking to her about becoming a VP candidate because she's got some real juice around her because she did run a really good campaign for governor, and I still think she won. But you know, that's a whole nother discussion for another day. But the problem is like you said, you don't want to. I don't know that it is what it is. I mean, it's unprecedented, but maybe that's what it's going to take.
Well, I think in this case, I don't think it's going to be all the debates. You know, these candidates, there's so many of them, they're going to have to start separating themselves from the rest of the pack, and it in a good way. So I don't know. Again, he'd have to be awfully sure because the last thing on earth you want is one single person saying, thank you, but no.
Yeah.
It could spell a disaster.
Yeah, you're right about that. I've actually liked this Peter Buttigieg guy. I've been reading more about him. I watched his town hall, and somebody with ideas, and not a flash in the pan. I mean, I'm not a Beto guy on any stretch of the imagination. Let's move along from that. But I actually like the mayor. I think he's going to help push the things along. I don't know. He's not going to win, but I like the guy.
But he is good. And Beto O'Rourke, I know the whole Kennedy, charismatic, et cetera, et cetera. I understand what some people are saying. However, he started, some gaffes in the beginning.
Yep.
And not just some. There were four in a row. And then he apologized, and it's going to be really interesting to see if he falls into that media trap where they're going to wait for something else and try to force an apology because it becomes a game with them at that point in time.
And while that may appeal to the base, that moderate voter that you need that's going to swing one way, that's going to turn them off. I personally, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think he's an empty suit. And I just, he's a good-looking guy. He gives a reasonable speech. He can skateboard somewhat okay, better than I can. But to me, that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think that I just don't see a lot of promise coming forth, honestly, with him. And like I said, my friends get very upset. But, my job is not to pick candidates I want. My job is to analyze who I think is going to be able to make it,
Yeah, I'm in the position of both. I want somebody who's going to win and is going to be able to beat Trump in 2020. But I also want to make sure that, their policies are something that I'm interested in.
Yes, and then, of course, Bernie Sanders made some news today. He was quick on the draw to talk about assault weapons ban. The irony of that assault weapons ban is that everybody talks about is 1994, and a little piece of trivia here, which is kind of fascinating, 1994, it was under the Clinton administration that the assault ban came in. Do you know who the deciding vote at that time? It was, they didn't have enough votes. You know who threw it over?
I'm going to guess John McCain.
John Kasich.
Oh, Kasich, wow.
John Kasich threw the vote over. And how I know so well, I was campaigning in Licking County. John was congressman in half of Licking County. And the amount of people that gave me grief down there for simply knowing John Kasich was extreme at that time. And of course, they let it sunset. It was a 10-year bill, and nobody renewed it after that time. None of the Congresses ever renewed it.
Ah, that's interesting. I mean, that was a different John Kasich, though.
Yes.
I think he's marched, a little bit further to the right each and every time. Because as I remember, he wasn't overly crazy when he first went into Congress.
He just, he was a definite with a congressman named Tim Penny, a Democrat congressman. They were the ones who, there was like only 40 votes to balance the nation's budget. And they kept holding those votes, and they kept getting more votes out of both sides of the aisle, and eventually led to, Bill Clinton and the balanced budgets that came about. So he was a hawk on those issues, but on a lot of other things, then he moderated quite a lot when he ran for president.
Yeah. Interesting. That's an interesting bit of trivia. I'll have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Not like we'll see another assault weapons ban in my lifetime.
Correct.
It doesn't matter how many mass shootings we have we're not New Zealand. It is that.
Right.
Let's move on. Trade. Trade deal with China, that can happen? We get into that?
Well, there's a supposed trade deal, and then the president wants to take it. Now, let me tell you what I believe is going on. The president wants to make sure that it's verified and they can't get out of it, which, is actually a good policy because when we gave them, I called it the Clinton-Gingrich unholy deal, when those two got together and gave China permanent trade status, that was the end of it. Once it got what it wanted, that was it. So I like, letting it linger out on them to prove it, but I think also it's a campaign strategy because if he right now, drops everything and then they back out on it somehow before the election, he's done on that issue. Absolutely done. That's a mainstay as big as the wall for him.
Right.
So I think that's why they're dragging it out through 2020 to make sure the Chinese don't embarrass him in the election.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess he has a lot of confidence that he's going to win in 2020. That's cute. But I'm glad you threw Gingrich in there with Clinton on the permanent normal trade relations, because everybody hits me with, Bill Clinton did this all by himself. I go, no, you needed Congress.
It was, in fact, it's so funny because they, Gingrich, just for a side story, he was all over me. He wanted a vote. And I had actually given most favored nation status one time vote for Bill Clinton, and that was the last time I did that. And then Gingrich turned to me as I was taking the podium to relieve him that day in the podium for the House, and he said, "So, how are you voting conservative on the the trade agreement with China?" And I said, "No, I'm voting Labor," because the conservatives didn't want the agreement either. Some of them, as a matter of sovereignty. And I said, "No, I'm voting Labor.
Yeah,
I'm voting against it."
Again, as I tell you every time, we need Bob back in Congress. We need more Republicans like that.
We used to have 50 solid Republicans that would do that.
Yeah, what happened to them? Where'd they go?
Oh, some are gone. Unfortunately, some have passed.
Yeah, no, I mean just people who thought that way. I mean, just the attacks on labor over the last several years have just been insane.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Anytime trade comes up, it's all Bill Clinton. And I go, NAFTA wasn't all Clinton's doing. It was birthed under Reagan.
Right.
It was completely negotiated and completely done under H.W. Bush. And Clinton was just a guy who was all in favor of it as a neoliberal, and he put his signature on it.
Yes, and the permanent trade status was a Clinton Gingrich deal.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we get out of it. I have very little hope, but still, I'm trying to be somewhat positive that we're at least doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting story under I guess Jared's brother's in trouble. Kushner's brother's in trouble. What's going on?
Yes, Joshua, which I think nobody knew about, Josh, as they call him. He went to the 2017. Davos in the desert, as they call it, which is Saudi Arabia trying to develop economics. There was 3,000 some people there. Of course, 2018 didn't turn out as good because they decided to hack Khashoggi to death in the embassy before the the deal. But there's questions just about the influence of the family, the Kushners, with Saudi Arabia and the White House, et cetera, which the House is going to look at, and which New York State also is going to look at. But there's just questions now raised to the committee, which is the Oversight Committee, about potential problems that he may have, since his brother was there at the same time with him in 2017, Jared Kushner. And, of course, he's in the White House, and there's his brother's a businessman, which happens where there are families, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But somebody has given some information to the committee that they're going to take a look at.
Well, it'll be interesting. I'm, again, the whole family's tied up in a lot of this stuff, and how much is Jared selling off? This is the problem when you have family members and you have this kind of scenario. There's so many questions that it brings up.
Well, look, from day one, I completely have understood. I seriously have understood the fact that the president, trusts his daughter and son-in-law and sons. I get that, and. Here's the problem. They should have either you're in the business or you're in the White House. You can have people, in the government, John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert F. Kennedy, Attorney General. But you can't have them in the White House and in the business.
I agree.
It's just, I knew from day one, and everybody else did up on the Hill, that it was going to cause trouble. You can't do that. You've got to pick one or the other.
Now, you can't serve two masters. And, at the end of it, it just from the appearance, even if you're not doing anything at all wrong, just the appearance of it, it's
sure.
just bad, just not good. And look, right. At the end of this, we're going to have more hearings and more investigation. And at the end of it, I hope there's some transparency and we get to know what's going on. I understand the House Judiciary received 8 of the 81 requests for information. Just 8 of the 81?
Right. So far, 8. There'll be 2 more coming. One of the committees, but also Hope Hicks that worked in the White House. But the rest have not replied. I expect before this is over with subpoenas, court arguments, attempts to quash, I expect to see that. So far, of the list of 8, the most notable notorieties is Papadopoulos, who's pled guilty already, the NRA, Trump inaugural committee, and Steve Bannon.
Now, you surprised Steve Bannon, gave information? I'm kind of surprised at that.
Well, I was a little bit. He's been so low-key. I mean, we haven't heard a thing about him for ages.
No, I think he's just trying to keep himself out of the spotlight, off to the side, because he doesn't want to be Mueller. He doesn't want to be Manafort. I don't think he really wants people combing through everything he's done.
Right, exactly.
I know if it was me, I'd be hiding as well.
Oh, believe me, take it from personal experience, you don't want the feds coming through everything you own.
Nope, not at all. And finally, the big Boeing 737 MAX. Evidently, the FBI's joining into this. What's going on?
Well, this is a criminal investigation, so this is twofold. It's an investigation to find out how you solved the problem with the plane. Is it a sensor? Is it pilot training? Etc. But the other is a criminal investigation, and that's why the FBI's in there, because there's obviously something, some kind of smoke about the fact that the plane was pushed faster than maybe than it should have been, because there was competition coming of a plane similar to Airbus,
yep.
Which is usually Airbus is France, and there was a plane coming. So the question that they're looking at is, was this pushed ahead by the FAA or Boeing in an unnecessary way to expedite it to beat Airbus? Now, anytime you have a statement that the FBI is brought into a criminal investigation of this plane, then there's something that they're obviously looking at that they think was improperly done to influence.
Yeah, and as I had talked about, I think it was on Tuesday, the New York Times had a story that really just caught my eye that said that, basically the FAA inspectors didn't know that there was new software. And in fact, this is part of the whole deregulation thing, and let companies be more in the oversight role, and evidently they inspected the safety slide but didn't know that there was new software on the plane.
Yes, it's just absolutely unnecessary. And day one when this happened, the pilot told me that. He said, you're going to find out that they didn't have the proper training, people didn't know how to disengage and take back control of the plane.
Yeah, well, you know, to me, it was interesting that, you know, Trump didn't want to ground them until the CEO of Boeing called and said, hey, would you mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our airlines had no interest in grounding them.
Wow. I think that speaks volumes about the level of oversight that is absolutely needed.
Sure, absolutely.
There you go. Bob, I appreciate the time, man. Good stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much, Bob Ney, Talk Media News. No, I'm telling you, you know, you can look at the fact that we talked about this the other day. The fact that the FAA didn't even know that there was a new system and hadn't inspected it, hadn't gone through the proper testing and all of that, you got to wonder. You got to wonder. Let's take a quick break right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.